Well, good morning, everybody. Miranda should be roaming in here. So, did you put the dogs away? Okay. I mean, I wouldn't mind having them out, but when she comes, you're going to bark at her. That might be good background noise, you know. We've been barking at the tree good and evil for all our lives, so we can let the dogs bark at somebody coming.
Yeah.
So Martha and Wilford and Gigi were watching last night. And so she was chatting on the thing, and I just thought I'd read to you what she said. Hi, Mike and Diane. It was so lovely to see you both return. Oh, it was lovely to see you both. Oh, it didn't print it out. Oh, it printed the screen. Oh, well. Because it was, anyway. He says that was, she said, that was wonderful truth. It will not return to you void. It will bring forth fruit. I really wanted to say this one. I learned this week that death in the Aramaic, now see, it cut it off there, but it was like, almost like to be somewhere where you're not, right?
I can read it later today.
Yeah. I'll read it to you this afternoon. I'm going to shut that off. Well, we stirred up a bunch of hornet's nests last night, didn't we? They're big ones. They're really big, really, really big. It reminds me of Ed Sullivan. It's going to be a really big show. Listen, the great whore is not the Catholic Church. It says it in there if you'll look deep and really study it. Okay? It's not judging the world. It's telling you, it's looking at all of mankind and their minds chasing after a false kingdom. Within the kingdom of their own mind, they're seeking something other than themselves. That's the great whore. It's so clear. And you'll find it everywhere when you start looking. It's everywhere. It just jumps out at you when you get the premise right. It jumps out at you. So I'm just telling you, just trust me. And we got to stop all this nonsense, okay? Because that's just what it is. It's just nonsense. And Babylon isn't what you think it is either, okay? All through Revelation, it's talking about man living in fornication, trusting his own mind, following his own lusts to consume it upon himself. And if you've got trouble with that, listen, I'll sit down with you one-on-one and we'll box it out. And I'm just telling you right now, you'll be embarrassed when we're done. Because it's not even fuzzy. It's not fuzzy. It's very, very clear. And we just got to remember, it says all through Scripture. Everywhere. It says it everywhere. Legion. What happened with Legion when he was all done following the thousand things that tormented him his whole life? What did it say? He was sitting at peace and they found him in his right mind. They found him in his right mind. And it wiped out everything. It wiped it all out. So God is not judging the Catholic Church. Man is. And what we've believed and what we followed isn't any different. Matter of fact, the Catholic Church is probably looser. And I know this, people say they're hiding stuff and all that crap. Well, so is everybody else. So get in line, okay? I've hid stuff too. I used to run away when I was a kindergartner, hide behind a bush from my mom because I didn't want to go home with her, and lied about it every day. So, you know, I'm guilty. I wouldn't maybe call that the great whore, but it was part of it. Certainly wasn't. I can't excuse myself, you know, because she wanted me to do stuff. When I went home, I didn't want to. I wanted to play. Plus, she would raise her voice. She, like, beat me with a cat of nine tails or anything, you know, but, oh, I ain't got room. If you disobey your parents, you're going to hell. If you smoke, you're going to hell. Well, by the time I was 12, I was smoking. So every time I smoked, I heard, you're going to hell, you know, and I quit believing it. I really did. So I didn't have any trouble with hell. The Pentecostals talked about it so much, and I was in fear for a while, you know, and so when I was away from the house and thunderstorms would come, I thought for sure God's coming to get me, and that's hell coming, you know. I'd run back to the house, you know, and be crying, Mom, God's trying to get me. Well, could you, isn't that so funny how we think that God, that universal I am, would miss if he wanted to get me? Could he miss?
He's trying.
Yeah. He's trying to get me, but I'm too fast for him. You know what I mean? Now, one of our problems is, guys, we'll get revelation and we'll come across a passage and we'll find its spiritual meaning. But then we go back and we look at all the scriptures and we process them with our tiny little pea brain, Lanyon says. And we process it in a literal way that has to do with some appearance in this world. And you can't do that. Now, if it's talking about it specifically, you can. But revelation is always about spiritual insight. And we go into Scripture and says, this means that, and this means that. And I'm just telling you, we're just coming out of the realm of little faith. We're just coming out of it. And this afternoon, I'm going to show you, and it's going to be embarrassing to your ego. Okay? The ego's going to say, oh, well, I believed that 3 years ago, but I forgot it. Oh, I, you know, whatever. I'm telling you, I didn't know. I didn't. So you're way ahead of me. We should switch seats and you get up here and tell us about it then, okay? Because we got a long ways to go because we're still afraid of death. And don't say, oh, I'm not afraid to die. Because if you weren't afraid to die, you'd go jump off a bridge or something. If you're that arrogant, okay? If you could really say that. So we're not talking about that, okay? We're talking about all the things we follow after to try to maintain this physical body. That was the message yesterday. What are we doing to maintain and nervous and worried? I shouldn't be worried about Rex wanting to drive a motorcycle down the freeway on his head with one pinky on the steering wheel and then he drives himself to the emergency room. That shouldn't bother me. But it does. I don't like it. Okay? Rex, I don't want you to go yet, okay? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Right? I remember I talked to Ellie and I said, we're not ready yet. Ellie said, we're not ready. Right? So we're not quite ready for Rex to go. That's what she said. Isn't that beautiful? Well, we go a little bit too far with that. That's what I'm telling you, okay? We're overreacting in those areas. And it's only because there isn't a confidence there in who we really are. That's what I'm saying, okay? There just isn't a strong confidence in there that you're an eternal being. That's what I'm talking about. You are eternal, and that can't die. So if you're eternal, how can it die? It can't die. So there's too much emphasis put on the physical, and I'm not...
and yet sometimes we ignore the physical.
Well, I think we paid a lot of attention to it. Maybe we should just try it for a week, okay? Should we just try that for a week? Yeah, we should just try it for a little bit, because I'm not saying we're going to become, you know, the mystics or there were some groups in Egypt that would just sit on poles, you know, and starve themselves to death and beat themselves, because some of the Eastern religions think you need to deprive yourself of things. We're talking about a state of fear here. We're talking about how it relates to fear. That's what we're talking about. Not stupidness, not foolishness, not go throw yourself in front of a bus. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about a state of fear. That's really what it is, right? That's what Adam... Hello, here she is, come in. Yeah, that's pretty good. We just started.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So were you able to listen last night?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
So we won't need to do a lot of summation then. So what we need to be careful with is that we've been processing things in the wrong way for so long. We have to be careful with how we translate things, even what you just said, right? You're right. We don't want to ignore it, but we can't be in fear.
No. Right. Fear of living either.
Yeah. And so we've got to raise our hands and realize that we are. And so why is that? See, and that's what we're talking about today. All right, why is that? So. Another thing that Martha said, that a couple weeks ago, she started to get the word that when you go, the mind goes. So that was beautiful that she confirmed that, right? Now, right there, that's hard for me to get, you know, my head around that. Do you know what I mean? Well, I sort of like my mind. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it does a lot of things. And so to think that all that's going to go away, right, and even realizing the Father doesn't have a memory, just to realize that. He's not like a man. He doesn't have a memory. Now, we can look at that and be discouraged. Does it mean I'm going to forget my wife or I'm going to forget who I was? And I'm just telling you guys, this is so far beyond what we could ever comprehend, is what it says. You're not going to be disappointed, okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. We're not going to be disappointed. And I think we're going to know everybody in a totally different way. It's not going to be disappointing. That's all I know. I wish we could get some messages. I wish Tony could fly by like a pigeon and drop us some little notes, you know. But I can tell you one thing he said to me after he left. He said, nothing's changed. Well, he certainly can't be talking about the appearances because he just left. So when he said nothing's changed, what he was talking about was the changeless kingdom that we were discovering and understanding before he left. That's what he was talking about. The truth is the same. And so what are we seeking? And so today... the lesson, the title of the weekend series is Believing in Righteous Judgment. And of course, we're focusing on answering Miranda's question. Thank you for that.
Thank you for answering.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm done yet. You know, I got a ways to go, but so what does hinder you? And so we're going to be talking about some of the things we started with yesterday, and we're going to be expanding upon that. So I'm going to start right out shocking you again. Now, there's a tactic we use when I'm doing HR work. It's up at the ranch up here, right? When I sit down and I'm having problems with people, if I don't push them real hard with the problem, it's like a rubber band, okay? If I don't go beyond my goal with them, some. I never get all of what I want, is what I'm saying. I don't get it all. And I, because every time I go to correct somebody, you know what they do? They start talking around it. They start talking back at me and defending themselves. And you know what? You know what's going on? They're not listening to me. They're not listening. I have to shut them down. I have to say, you need to listen to me. I'm not in here saying this because it's not a problem. I'm in here saying it because it is a problem. And if you don't agree with me that it's a problem, we're not going to get it fixed. And I've got to push them where they usually get upset with me, okay? But if you try to mealy-mouse around and just say, oh, well, that wasn't real good, you know, try to do better, they're just going to walk off in their egocentric ways and say, well, and I'm just telling you, every time, we just had a huge one of these with a high-end guy, a guy that's running our East Coast, you know, and I've been talking to him. I travel with him to California. I've been talking to him about the ego and how it's our enemy. And he said, oh, yeah. He don't understand a lick of it, you know. He don't even have an idea. He's got an ego, because when you talk to somebody about their ego, the first thing they say is, well, I don't have an ego problem. Well, that's the ego saying I don't have an ego problem, okay? The ego says I don't have an ego. Isn't that a commercial for pancakes or waffles or something? Let go of my ego? Yeah. Or ego, that's what it is. Yeah, same thing. Rex. Rex is handsome, isn't he?
He is handsome.
Yeah.
This is
special things, though. Yeah. So, what I'm saying is, what I'm telling you is truth, but I need to shock you so you'll listen to me. I'd like you to say I don't agree with that even, because as long as you're quiet and don't meddle with it, I'm going to show you it's true, okay? Because we've been talking about it, and to some degree, you've already agreed with it. I'm not saying things that are totally brand new here, okay? We've been nipping at it. You know, we've been taking bites out of it already. But we've got to clean it up. It's messy still. And we can't be mixing in, right, untruth with truth, because it really is ruining it, because it's stealing our peace away. It's stealing our joy away, and that's what my goal is, okay? I want to help you be able to go through anything and be at peace and joy all the time, no matter what it is, see? And listen, we aren't going to judge the world, but we're not going to try to change the world either. Because if we're trying to change the world, we're judging the world. Okay? Just listen to me now. That has nothing to do with, that doesn't mean you're going to ignore people. But just go with the flow. Okay? Just go with it. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Just go in and help people and love people and tell them who they are. Tell them who they are. Don't judge them. When they brought the adulterous woman with her, the last thing Jesus was trying to do was to get her from going back with her lover. That was the furthest thing from his mind. He said, go and sin no more. And it had nothing to do with having sex with some man that wasn't her husband. I'm telling you, it didn't. Because that's not why he came. The law already was there, and it was already judging her, and it showed, three guys showed up and drug her in there, and the law was judging her. And he said to them, he who has sin, cast the first stone. And they all left. Go and begin to believe who you are. And the other things will come in line at some point. It will. It will begin to change. But what if you're involved in crazy, wild sex, you know, and you stop it physically, but you're going around thinking about the person the rest of your life, you know? Is that victory? See what I mean? You see how sneaky we are? And I'm telling you now, if we played a recording, which I used to believe, every thought I thought was going to be played on the screen for everybody. And then maybe half a point of a crown would squeak out. I never get a full one because I walked an old lady across the street or something. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? That foolishness? Have you heard that in evangelical churches? There's going to be a big screen and it's going to show it all. I want to tell you something. Nothing that processes through your mind is visible or knowable to the Father. Not one thought. That one thought. Well, that's not what we're here to do. Watch you listen to me. God's not watching your thought processes, okay? He's not Santa Claus. He's not a God of reward and punishment. He's not judging you based on what you think. You're judged because of your unbelief in who you are. Okay? You judge yourself and others based on what you think. Okay? God's not Santa Claus. All right? Just telling you right now, because if you think that way, then God's a God of reward and punishment, and He's judging you. And we've been talking about for months now, God's judging the world in righteousness. That's all He's doing. That's all He's doing. So if you don't believe that, if you believe He's judging you with your thoughts, then you don't believe He's judging the world in righteousness. I'm telling you, you don't. You don't believe He's judging the world in righteousness. God is judging the world in righteousness. And the people with equity. And He's judging everyone in loving judgment. Everyone. Full stop. And I don't want to hear any arguments about it. Okay? I'm sorry. That's the truth. And that truth absorbs all of the wrongs and all of the activities that are going on in this world and expunges them. And if you struggle with that, then you're judging the world in some capacity. Or you're judging yourself or you're judging others. I'm just telling you, I would never have any relief if I'm being judged for my thoughts, because my thoughts aren't pure all the time. Okay? They're not. And I can't say that every thought coming through my mind is pure. I have to walk away from it. Yes. And it begins then to slow down and go away. Yes. It just starts to disappear. And it's the same thing with understanding revelation. If a wonderful revelation comes to you, and you begin to embrace it, but the activity of yourself isn't in line with that, how will you ever really be at peace and enjoy that revelation? If you're judging yourself by your behavior, your thought processes. How will you ever, you'll never get there. That's the old ways. It's the way of the law, and it's the way of unrighteousness is what it is. Okay? It's the path of unrighteousness. You as a man can never please God by anything you do, so you might as well give up. And if you think you got your thought processes in line, and God's going to be happy with you now, I'm telling you, we don't believe in the same God. I do not believe in that God. He does not exist. The God I believe in is judging me in loving kindness. He's judging me in unconditional love 24/7 all the time. And He's not judging me based on my actions, and He's not judging me based on my thoughts. Period. It's not happening. Now, this is why it says every knee will bow. This is why it says it. Every knee will bow in shock that God always loved them in righteous judgment their whole lives. Every knee. And they'll go, "You're kidding me. After all the things I've done? After all the things I've done?" And of course, thought. I had a lot more thoughts than I've done. I've put the brakes on a few times. That's why I don't want you to be worried about your mind. Okay? But don't let it come out of your tongue, okay? Because it says the mind is desperately wicked. Why? Because we're following our mind, and then we're in unbelief about who we really are, okay? So don't worry about your mind. You've got to get the revelation in your heart before your mind will follow. And this is why I wanted to say it to you, because even after, if you get shocked into a new revelation and a new love, of loving, understanding loving judgment, I'm just telling you right now, your mind isn't going to instantly respond to that. It's still going to wander back off. It's still going to wander back off, and you're going to say to yourself, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. And you're going to find slowly it starts to disappear. Now, that's how it's happened with me, okay? Because if it didn't, I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, it ties you up in knots. If you think every time you have a wrong thought, you're in judgment, okay? It ties you up in knots. It's a pattern. We've been taught it. We've been taught it in religion. We've been taught it in evangelical churches, okay? And I'm just telling you, it's the reason you got to take Prozac. It's the reason you got to numb it. It's the reason we go out and have a shot. And I still have to have a shot of whiskey sometimes. But you know why? Because when I go through all that mess at work, it gets all over me. And where's it getting all over me? Right here. That's where it's happening. Right there. And so if I can slow it down, and something else, you know, the reason the Chinese used a hammer to heal you with the cold, because you say your elbow hurts, they hit your knee real hard, and your elbow quits hurting. It's the same kind of exercise here. Don't worry about your mind. Don't worry about it. It's going to wander. It's still going to wander until it quits, until it turns to a little pile of dust. Okay? Because if you get cremated, it's just going to be a little tiny pile of dust over here, and it's going to quit functioning the way it does today. It's not going to function the same way. Okay? So, here's the shock, the shocking news, okay? When Jesus was here on this earth, he was not a healer. He's not a healer. I've got some really, really good passages here, too. They're really good, okay? All this word of faith stuff, this Benny Hinn and all these guys out there, it's all a bunch of goofballism, okay? Jesus was not a healer. What did he say to him? It was the truth that he spoke to the people that delivered them from their turmoil. And at times, there were physical manifestations, and at times there weren't. Okay? And I think we hinted on it last night, and I think Mark really tuned into that too when he was talking about how your emotions and everything get attached to bad news. And if that can be relieved from you, it takes away a lot of the energy of the bad news you've gotten. And it helps deliver your body. It does. It really is sort of health to your bones. Because you don't have all of that friction and you're not tied up in knots about it all the time, right? So there's no question. There's big relief there, right? When he said to the lame man, "What does hinder you?" The lame man did not just jump up and was healed like our tiny little brains think happened. It wasn't just a word, "You're healed." It wasn't just that word, okay? He received a message, a word, that set him free. There's no such thing as a word of faith that exists without truth. Be healed is a word without life. It does not exist in the realm of faith. Be healed. There's no power at all. We've thought that. Yeah. We've thought it. We've all been around the Pentecostal charismatic movement, and it's a word or a touch or a presence. And I'm telling you, I don't believe in that God. I don't believe in that God, okay? If you believe in that God, go ahead. I don't believe in him, right? Because the God I know is not a respecter of persons. And he has no partiality, okay? So, And Mark, I'm thankful you responded that way. You need to. Your response. That's good, because we've got to dig into this and find out what the issue is, okay? So, because I know it's good, I'm going to get a lot of responses like that. Because I was working with Tony and everybody, people writing in, you know, well, I'm just looking to Jesus for healing. I'm looking to Jesus for healing. That Jesus does not exist. That God does not exist. Okay? If God were to heal your husband and not another, he'd be a respecter of persons. He'd be a quack, a hypocrite. And it'd be conditional then, wouldn't it? And that's not what it's talking about. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it to you. Okay? Jesus said the truth is what will set you free. He didn't say getting your body healed will set you free. He said the truth will set you free. And Lanyon, I said what Lanyon said last night. If you can't get over this healing business, if you just want to get healed again and turn around and die, what good is it? So your problem is your fear of death. That's the problem. So that's what we've got to deal with. So now, we're going to dig into Mark passage chapter 2, 1 through 12. And it said, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. Hello. Hello. Come in. He preached the word to them. It says it at the beginning, and we blow right by it, right? Because we want to get down to where he healed them. No, we do. Now, come on, let's confess here. We blow right by it. Why did Jesus come? To bring good tidings, a word, a message, a truth that would set us free. And sometimes there are physical manifestations and sometimes there's not. And no matter which way it goes, right? It doesn't matter which way it goes. We have to rest in contentment and peace with the results of it. Okay? No, I'm going to tell you right now, my faith, and I'm not saying I don't have faith for the rest of you at all, but I have to have a little more faith with Rex because he's a wild man. We got the big snow. First thing Liz says, Rex out there breaking out the snowmobiles. I go, geez, now what's he going to do? I can just see him riding up the side of his barn or something, you know. Now, Rex, I'm not saying I'm going to have victory over this death thing, okay? Because when we get a call and you're gone, I'm not going to be happy, okay? Do you understand that? I will not be happy. I'm not going to jump up and down and crack open a bud. Now, should I? Huh? Okay, well, would you leave us a message right before you go? Saying it's okay? Don't mourn for me, Argentina? Or cry? Give us permission, would you, Rex? Okay? Because I'm not going to like it. All right? I won't like it. So what's that say? What does that say? We've got a long ways to go, but we're going to begin, hopefully today, with this. And so now, after it says, and he preached the word unto them, Mark 2, 1 through 12. So remember now, it says he preached the word to them. And they came to him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had broken it up and let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now here's another key phrase. When Jesus saw their faith. Let's get it in order now. What was it just, we got faith? Spooky, goofy stuff? No. They were responding to the word that was preached unto them. They were responding to the word that was preached unto them. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son," now this is really critical again, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And it had nothing to do with our wild minds or our behavior. Sin has nothing to do with that. And if you're still struggling with that stuff, you're still under the law, guys, and you're 7,000 years old in your understanding, okay? It has nothing to do with behavior or thoughts. Nothing to do with it. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus told us in John, sin is unbelief. And here it is again. Here it's talking about the response of the word to them and their faith response is what brought about the change. And this isn't talking about getting rid of the palsy. It's talking about delivering our minds from those things that hinder us. Because that's something that's permanent. Just getting rid of an ailment when you're going to have it again and die is not victory. That's what Walter Lanyon kept trying to tell us. If you're just, exactly, it's a patch job. I don't want a patch job, do you? I don't want no patches jobs. I got bumps all over me. I don't know if it's a thing in Michigan. Is it a Michigan thing? I got these little fatty tumors all over my morbidly obese body. Okay? They're all over. I've had a couple of them removed. I had one the shape of a banjo right behind my belt, and it was bugging the heck out of me, so I had it tore out. And they pulled it out, and it looked like a banjo. Had a round thing with a long string on it. You know, I could attach some strings to it and tried to play it, you know. Are you with me? Okay. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." What we saw before this is their unbelief was disappearing. Their unbelief was going away. That is health to your bones. That is health to your bones. And now, follow me now, listen to me. No matter what you go through, we said it last night, if you were at a place of peace and rest without fear, it wouldn't matter what you go through. So we're not talking about total disregard and recklessness here. We're just talking about moving, and when the crooked path is straight, you're in peace and you're in contentment and you're in a state of thankfulness, no matter where you go, okay? Now, can I be in a state of thankfulness when my mind is doing all these crazy things and thinking weird thoughts? Absolutely not. You can't, because it's all clogged up, right? So in that sense, you know, I'm agreeing with what Mark is talking about, you know. If your mind is consumed with all these things that are contrary to who you are, you can't be at peace. You can't listen. You can't hear. You can't. It's too much traffic. It's too busy. It's too much stuff going on, okay? That's why I can't handle it when my wife and her sisters get together and they all talk 100 miles an hour. Because I really am a good listener. And I want to listen to one person and process what they're saying and try to follow it along, right? I want to do that. And I can't do this, whatever that is that they're doing. Apparently they understand what's going on, but I sure don't. So now, there were certain of scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why did this man thus blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and take thy bed and walk." Now right there is the difference, right? Rise up and take your bed and walk means thy sins be forgiven thee. He just said they're synonymous. He just told them they're synonymous. But you can't just look at rise up your bed and walk because somebody said take up your bed and walk and think you're going to be healed. That's asinine. And the whole church is following asininism. Okay? There's Hebrewism and asininism. Okay? That's what they're doing. They forgot about the word being preached. They just think it's a random word. They don't think it's some specific truth that needs to come into your life and deliver you. It could be any word. Blah, 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 you're healed. Blah, 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 you're healed. There's 1,000 of them, and I'm telling you, there's not 1,000 of them. There is a truth that will set you free. And can I share some of the news about what's going on with you? Is that okay? Okay. So our brother Jerry came in last night and said he's diagnosed with cancer. And we sort of known that for a while, so it's not shocking. But I could tell when we were talking last night that Jerry was receiving a lot of comfort in what we were talking about. And then, let's not treat the cancer. Right? Now, we're going to. See what I mean? We're going to. So we're agreement again there, Mark. Because I know where you're coming from, right? We're going to treat the cancer, but that's not where our faith lies. Right. We're going to be dealing with the fear of death. We need to deal with the fear of death so that you have peace and confidence and joy no matter what happens, right? So you're not weighing your body down with all this garbage, right?
Disease.
Exactly. That's what we got to work on. And I'll help you with that, okay? You hear me? I'll help you with that. Lanyon's got wonderful chapters on that, and I know where to find them, okay? Wonderful chapters. Wherever we go, whatever comes to us, whatever we approach, if you're in a state of thankfulness and contentment, it won't matter what comes to your door. It will not matter. And I'm telling you right now, I can't be in a state of contentment and thankfulness if I believe things in my mind are going to punish me. I have to let it go. My mind is an adulterer. My mind is a whore. For sure. My mind's a whore. Now it's calming down. It's calming down a little bit. It isn't whoring around as much as it used to. And that's what I mean. It is calming down. Well, why? Because I'm starting to fill it with a different understanding. But I'm just telling you, this thing isn't going to go away overnight. So if you're going to keep condemning your mind, you're never going to get there. Let it go. Just realize what it is. It's a whore. And it will chase anything that wiggles. Okay? I'm just telling you, I'm still a man, you know. My heart's still beating.
It's also an abuser.
Well, it does a lot of things.
An accuser.
And so, I'm just... Anyways, we'll keep going. We're on the right path. We're all going the right way here. What did he say to them? Why are you reasoning these things in your hearts? Why are you believing this baloney? See? Why are you reasoning these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and take thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. Now listen. Your mind's going to tell you it has to do with behavior, and that's not what it's talking about. Power on earth to change your understanding from one of unbelief to belief. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Spirit to you. What? To teach you about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. And then he said, about sin because they don't believe in me. And it wasn't talking about an icon. It wasn't talking about wearing a bracelet. What would Jesus do? Unbelief that you are the righteousness of God. That God only sees you in righteousness always. He's never judging you for anything you think or do. Ever. Now you're judging you. You are. But that's the great whore that's fornicating that righteous father that lives within you. Because God's here. And this afternoon, I'm going to say something. I probably have to put muzzles on all of you this afternoon because there'll be a roar when I tell you what I'm going to say this afternoon, okay? But if you stay with me now, okay? Just stay with me. Okay. Okay. Well, as long as you leave on your motorcycle, standing up on your seat, that's okay, Rex, because I want to see that. Oh, there you go. Power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick and the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thy house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now don't get fooled by those last statements. That's not good news, what they just said. Why were they amazed? We've never saw it done this way. What were they doing? Judging by appearances, weren't they? And they all walked away in their unbelief. They all walked away in their unbelief. They did not believe the word that was preached to them. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. But those that were with them, those that heard the word, there was deliverance. And there was a lot more than getting rid of the palsy. Hello? There has to be. Now, I know we all believe that, right? So let's try to separate the way our minds process it to something where you have permanent truth and a type of truth that never changes. Because if we're going to follow our minds and this other stuff, it's always changing all the time, guys. You can't count on it. You can't trust it. You can't. Now, I hate to use the word wicked, but it says it's desperately wicked. And that just means you can't trust it. Okay? You can't process things out in your mind. And it's terribly hard if you're an attorney. I can't even. Mark, you want to know something? I said a year ago, there will never be a lawyer ever get any of this message because what is his job? Is to stand up and argue all the time. So I'm amazed. I'll be honest with you already. I'm totally amazed, okay? And we've talked about some of that, and I think we're on the right page with a lot of it, you know, but it amazes me because their whole life is centered around arguing. You know, when you're in there, that's what you got to do. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could do all that stuff and know in your heart that whatever happens, it's good, it's right, however it comes out? Wouldn't that be amazing? Just to watch things transpire and know if you didn't say one or two areas just right, it didn't going to matter. But you did as good as you could, right? And I know you believe that. Right.
What we see isn't near as important as enjoying the ride.
Yeah, there you go. You're catching on, Mark. It's good. So, being amazed and saying, I never saw it on this fashion, isn't going to help you. That's not going to last very long, is it? It just lasts for a little while, doesn't it? And you're going to find yourself right back there again. Right? Following the appearances. So now we're going to go to John 5 because I want to make some emphasis on some other things. John 5, 5 through 14. And I think I cut off some of the verse because I didn't. Some of it was just redundant. I didn't want to put it in there, so you just have to trust me. And it says, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Now, what's that describing? Our history? A long time in that case. Why didn't he say he had this disease a long time? Just because we got to look deeper. He'd been a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? He asked him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, hallelujah. What did he do? He confessed, didn't he? The impotent man. We all know what the word impotent means, I think, don't we? Hello? Does everybody know what that means? Okay, good. I don't want to give you a visual on that, but the impotent man answered him. That's a great clue, isn't it? An impotent man emptied himself and said, I'm helpless. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. The impotent man. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. Sir, I've been trusting in man my whole life and it's never worked. And it's never worked. And Jesus said, I've got a better way. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. And there's the same truth that I talked to you about last night. If we get all this new technology, that it'll never work. Because someone else will step in before him and steal it and won't share it. Because their hearts are desperately wicked. That's why somebody kept stepping in before him. And they walked away in their sin, didn't they? They might have got something from the waters, but they walked away in their sin. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now we know that he said a lot more than that, don't we? But we've thought it was just those words and some kind of mystical power because Jesus said them that healed them. And I'm telling you, that's all rubbish. That's not true at all. There's no fairy tale, fairy dust, smoke and mirror, Santa Claus, just saying certain words, and he said certain words in a certain way at a certain time, and it heals you. Because if that was the case, every time you said them, it'd work. And we know it doesn't. It has something, it's got a lot more to do with it than that. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Now let's go back, okay, because we're looking at the last phrase there. It was obvious the man had given up on himself. He said, I'm an impotent man. Hello? Hello? When are we going to give up on ourselves and the way we've been processing things for me 56 years? When are we going to give up? When can we give up? We have not had consistent victory. We have not had something that's solid and sure and steadfast that doesn't change. Because we're still following the appearances. We're letting it throw us off. And we'll get. And this is what I mean about when I go in at HR, she said, I got to stretch them to hopefully get them back where they've improved a little bit. Yes, we said, oh, I've believed that, but this other stuff is mixed in with it. This other beliefs are still mixed in with them a little bit, and we've got to cut them off today and deal with it and clean it up. That's why I want to clean it up, and that's why I'm going to shock you about some of the things we're talking about. Now, here comes the Pharisees again. Because what you know what he did? He did it on the Sabbath. Now, I'm not going to read about all their baloney they're talking about, but you already know. What are you doing? And afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. End of story, right? Nope. Is that all you want, Jerry? Is that all you want to do is get rid of the cancer? No. There's your victory. Right there. There's your victory. If we just go through things in life and we don't learn revelation and learn permanent fixed truth, we might as well just die. That's what Lanyon said. You want to get healed? That's all you want? You're going to get healed and you're going to turn around and get sick again and die? He says, why don't you just die and get it over with? That's not very nice. Because if you believe you're going to die, you will. Because you're living in that realm of death. We're putting too much weight in that, okay? Way too much weight in that. Behold, thou art made whole. Then he said to him, sin no more. Hello? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, we got to put all these things together, okay? Let's put all these things together. What are the keys we talked about earlier and now? The man claimed and said he was an impotent man. Okay? That's a real key passage, okay? He said, I'm an impotent man. I'm helpless. Doesn't matter what word I spoke, what thought I've had, it hasn't worked. Whatever I've done up until now, it hasn't worked. And I remember that was a great turning point in my life one morning when I left organized religion. I was driving down a mountain road. I lived at 10,000 foot in a log home up in the Rocky Mountains. And I'd been going to a Baptist church, and I drove down this road that had 120 curves, and I just pulled over and started crying. And I said, God, whatever it is, it ain't working. This isn't working. I don't know the answer, but I know this isn't it. And from that moment on, I started getting involved in parachurch ministries. I heard about Bob George and Malcolm Smith, and I started going over to the Happy Church. And I liked the Happy Church because they were happy. Yeah, they were happy. So I liked that, you know. They weren't telling me I was a sinner all the time. There's a little bit of that in there, but not as much. So that was good. Sin no more. Well, we think sin no more has something to do with our thoughts or actions. Hello? Guys, let go of all that stuff. We for sure have got to quit judging our neighbor. And Jesus told us that my Father judges no man about anything. About anything, whether it's your thoughts or actions, my Father judges no man. God's so far above this world, looking down in righteousness, and all he sees is himself in you. All he sees is himself in you. That's all he sees. Now, when you get a hold of that and understand that, to me, it'd just be unbelievable to see a great big old burly man had been in prison for doing who knows what, and him bowing his knees before the Father and saying, I've never judged you, I've always loved you with unconditional love. It's beyond our comprehension, isn't it? Isn't it? Huh? It's beyond our comprehension. So forgive yourself for your mind and your behaviors, and get off of it. It won't work. Trying to manage them will not work. We've got to focus in. We have to focus in on truth, okay? We've got to focus in on reality. And the more we focus in on reality and truth, the more that stuff will begin to line up. But don't watch it. Don't start looking at it, and don't judge yourself based on whether you're running off on your mouth or not. If you can just Work on speaking truth with your tongue and not letting all that baloney start coming out of your tongue. Just stop that. That's all I care about, okay? Let's just stop speaking lies like we talked about last night. So understanding your own impotence is a strong key word here. How long do you want to live there? Will you be made whole?
Are you willing?
Did he? So I want to tell you exactly what Jesus said to these men when he was preaching the word to them in Mark. I want to give you exactly what he said. Now, not word for word, but I'm just going to tell you what he told them. We started talking about it yesterday. Now, I'd shared this with Miranda a little bit, but Star Trek was my favorite TV show growing up when I was a young man. Now, here we go. Can you believe God was blessing me today, Mark, when I stole money out of my mom's purse and told her and brought home a $50 black and white TV? And I told her I won it selling magazines. And I'd go in my mom's purse, and you guys don't have to tell me what you took out of your mom's purse, but she'd have a wad of money, and I'd just slip out a 10 or a 5 here and there, you know, so she wouldn't miss it. Well, she knew it. She counted her money. And I bought this black and white TV so we could, my brother and I could watch Star Trek at night after we went to bed, because it was on after we were supposed to go to bed, right? So we would, listen, we'd turn it on without the sound on. That's how hooked we were. And you want to know something? My mom would still bang on the wall and say, turn that TV off. And the sound was off. Turn that off. Well, she never had the energy to come up, so we never turned it off, okay? So I want you to just go with me with this a little bit, okay? Just pretend Captain Kirk is Jesus, okay? Yeah. He says to the inhabitants of the earth, do you know that you are not human beings on the earth? Hello? You are not human beings. Go and stop believing all the lies that contradict the reality that the kingdom of God dwells in within you. You are not a human being who needs to do something. You do not need to fight. Do not resist the love. It's coming over the loudspeaker out of the Enterprise, okay? Announcing it to the world. This is what Jesus said to the man with the palsy. You are not a physical human being subject to the cares of this world. What did we say yesterday about, is there such a thing as a physical life? Didn't we put the nail in that coffin? Didn't we yesterday? That's what we talked about. There's no such thing as a physical human being. There isn't. You are not a physical human being subject to the cares of this world. Jesus said, you are not of the dust of the ground. And he began to guide them into a realm of reality, a fatherhood union that never ends. If he was just a healer, then everyone would have been healed that he desired to heal. But that did not happen. What he said was in direct correlation to their understanding of this word. It takes the evidence of things not seen to understand that you are not a physical human being, because your body, your surroundings, everything around us says the opposite. It's constantly communicating with you. And even if you believe and embrace the word of faith and believe it with all your heart and say it's true, you're still going to go out in this world and it's going to start speaking to your mind and your mind's going to get pulled away. It's going to happen again. What's going on with me now is it doesn't pull me away as long. Where I was living there all the time, now it's shorter time periods and it's slowly starting to come in line. It's not going to be an easy thing, Jerry, to totally get this down, what we're talking about. But I know it's true. I know it's the answer. And that doesn't mean it's going to be, it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be pain. But if we can reduce it down to 10%, that'd be better than 90. It'd be better to live 90% not in fear than all be living in fear the whole time. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be amazing if you could get news like that and it didn't bother you at all? Be amazing, wouldn't it? Thessalonians has a wonderful truth in it. And I believe it's so true because it's so simple. It says, and this is the will of God, that you be thankful in all things. There's so much power there in that. That you be thankful in all things. And stop judging yourself. You've got to start forgiving and judging yourself for your mind, if you're ever going to get victory. And when it starts to wander off and chase some rabbit, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Just call him the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that man. Say no. And I love what the Infinite Way and Lanyon teaches. It says don't resist it when those thoughts come. Let them have their way. Don't fight it because it makes it harder. Just let them have their way. Let them run their course and begin to turn and focus on something else. What am I thankful for? Liz shared last night, she was sitting over here numb, and she says, Mike, that was so beautiful. When I come to these places now, I'm going to get out my pad and I'm going to start writing things down that I'm thankful for. And you might be crying when you start. But maybe there'll be 30 of them, but one of them will get you, right? And turn it around. Maybe one of them will get you. You might say, I don't believe that one ain't doing me much good, you know, but I'm going to say it anyway. And maybe one of them will really speak to you spiritually and it'll begin to reverse the curse, okay, that's going on within your mind and break up the turmoil. So, when you get this kind of news, when you struggle with these kinds of situations, are you going to believe it when Jesus says you're not a physical human being? Subject to every whim and issue here on the earth? Does Jesus ever call us human beings? Do you see human beings anywhere in Scripture? It's not in there. God said, behold, now are you the sons of God. Outside of a time zone, outside of our judgment, because it's our memories and our judgment that trap us in time and make us start watching the clock, and we start to believe that something's going to happen in the future that causes us to fear. It's all part of this world system that we need to step away from. So, stop believing you're a human being. That's a good start. Stop believing you're a human being. Quit talking about humanhood and thinking somehow there's a human nature and a divine nature, because there is no such thing. There's just your mind versus reality. And it doesn't have a nature. It's just trying to rob you of your joy. So your only enemy is your own mind. And you don't have to fight it, but what I'm telling you is don't believe it. That's all I'm saying. Let it run its course. Just don't believe it. Just don't be in agreement with it. Okay? But it's never going to be pure. It's never going to have pure thoughts all the time. It's never going to happen. I promise you. Will not happen. And if that's your goal, I'm just telling you right now, you're never going to make it. You're way ahead of me. So, you are spirit. So, when we go over these verses, what we have to realize and focus in on isn't the healing, isn't that he had the palsy or he laid on a bed for 38 years and was trying to jump in the when the waters got troubled. Okay? There's another message in there, by the way, but I don't have time to go there. It's talking about troubled waters. It's the truth. Jesus has always said there's a truth that will set you free. Now, what is that truth? I think when we're dealing with health issues, is that can I, Father, teach me what it means to not be afraid of death? If you got to say that 1,000 times, teach me what it means to not be afraid of death. How many passages did Jesus say? How many times did he tell us? And he told them, if you drink from this water that I give you, you will never die. How many times do we have to hear it to realize the reality of who you are will never die? And you're not someone else. You're not something else. You're not. It's an illusion. And that's why God can't see it. God's two eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. It's an illusion to think that you're a physical human being. It's an illusion. It's not real. That's why he can't see it. It's not reality. And that's why he's not working in this world to change and try to bring in a false kingdom. He's not. If he was, it'd be done already. If that was his goal, it had already been done. So, when we find ourselves struggling with anything in this world to any level, it is coming from a place where truth is missing in your life. And I told you last night, when I went to the Father, when I started having problems, when my mind started bogging me down, I said, Father, what's my problem? And every time he said the same thing to me. He said, Mike, it's your judgment. Mike, it's your judgment. Mike, it's your judgment. Well, guess what? He doesn't have to tell me that no more. I got it. So now, the moment I start to struggle, the moment I start to get frustrated, I go back and I got to say, Mike, I say to myself, Mike, where is it that you jumped off the wagon? Where are you? What is it that you're struggling with? What do you want? What are you upset about? And I've always got to go back to what's on the appearance level in front of me, because that's what tricks us up, is we get hung up on something that's a byproduct of the real issue. So that's one reason it's hard for us to live in deliverance, because the problem is what it seems to be. It's something deeper. And this is a perfect example. Getting rid of some sickness is not the answer. It says it's an adulterous generation that seeks a sign. And what happened? Thousands of people were healed and they never got the truth. The cares of this world come in and choked out reality, and it never did them any good. Never worked. So we want something that's permanent and everlasting and doesn't end. If we allow the thought that we're lacking something in the physical realm, it will stand in the door of your victory. It will block your access to peace, to truth. So when Jesus said, "What doth hinder you?" it wasn't some fairy tale thought. I'm just going to say mind over matter, or just take up your bed and walk. It wasn't just a word like that. He was preaching the word to them before all this started. He was telling them who they are. He was saying, you're not physical human beings subject to the cares of this world. Jerry, you're not a physical human being subject to the cares of this world. You're not. Now, you're going to have to get some more subliminal messages about that, right? But that's what you got to keep saying to yourself. That's what we all have to keep saying to ourselves. I'm not a physical human being subject to the cares of this world. I'm going to be a thankful person today. I'm going to look for opportunities for thankfulness.
Amen.
I'm going to look for opportunities for thankfulness so I can give instead of going around and trying to make people feel sorry for me. Now, I went through this with Liz when she had breast cancer. And we had many times we were together and she was crying and struggling. And she said, Mike, I'm so tired of every time I go somewhere, I have to tell the whole story about what's going on with me. She says, I'm wore out. She says, I don't want to say another word. And I said, you don't have to. And this is what I told her, and this is what I'll tell you. I said, when somebody approaches you, quickly turn the conversation in and ask them how they're doing. Mm-hmm. Just as soon as you can. Just turn it around and say, how are you doing? I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Don't go into the details. Why? Because going over and over and over again just puts you in despair. So this is where we got to rightly divide the truth. Do everything you can, but don't keep focusing on all the details over and over and over and over in your mind. It's got to be a subcategory to reality. It's got to be something that's out of mind. We got to do everything we can to get it out of our mind, okay? So we're going to have to spend 9 times on the truth and 10% on working with the appearances. And we got it the other way around, folks, I'm telling you right now. We're spending most of our time on appearances and a little bit of time on truth.
Yeah.
And that's why you're not walking around in peace and joy. And I don't care who you are. If you're looking at anything in this world or any person in this world and judging them, whether it's right or wrong, you are a fleshly person. You are not. You do not know that you're spiritual about anything. You're after the flesh. My Father is judging no man. He's judging everyone in perfect, holy righteousness. He always has, and it's never changed. And this God in the Old Testament, that reward and punishment, is not the real God. It's not the true God. So if we're struggling in some area in our life, it's because we're missing truth. We are the offspring of God. God is spirit. So then we are spirit. We are spirit. We are no longer looking to the world and seeing a realm of us and our adversary. We no longer see a realm of God, good versus evil, of right versus wrong. And so all your lack, all the torment you experience in your life comes from your view of yourself. And it comes from our view of the world. So there's our two problems. Seeking a false kingdom was what we talked about yesterday. Big, big problem. Trying to bring peace to the earth means you're judging the earth in unrighteousness. Means there's something wrong. It's something wrong with your earth, something wrong with your world, and you're trying to desperately fix it. And so you spend your whole life chasing a rabbit trail. And if it ain't that one, it's something else. Well, that doesn't sound like living to me. So now, there's another shocker. Okay? Here we go, round 2. When we see ourselves as physical beings, we then begin to call out to a God to do something for us. We begin to pray to a God that's unknown to us. to a God that doesn't exist. Because if you believe you're a man and you're seeking a God, there is none to be found. Now, I know it's a shock. I know it isn't comfortable, okay? Because we've been doing a lot of seeking, a lot of praying, and a lot of asking, a lot of begging for a lot of things, okay? I know. I know it's going to be hard for a lot of people. In Scripture, we see a beautiful passage that talks about this, where an angel appeared unto Joshua. At first, Joshua responded as a man, and he said, "Are you for us or our adversary?" This was the reaction of the man, not the response of spirit. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he said, "Which side are you for? The good side or the bad side?" And the angel said, "Neither." Uh-oh. We better find out what neither means, shouldn't we? What's neither mean? Write neither on your mirror. I'm not for you or your adversary. Unbelievable passage. But the Lord of hosts do I represent. I represent a father that's not taking sides here. Hello? Hello? So we've got it backwards, don't we? We're never going to find satisfaction in a spiritual realm, because if you're looking to be satisfied in a spiritual realm or results of treatments or whatever it is, if you're looking for satisfaction there, I'm telling you, it's doing this all the time. And that's not the Father. That's nothing to do with the God I worship, okay? Neither but the Lord of hosts do I represent. So if we're dissatisfied with some area in our life, it is because someplace we do not understand that you're living outside of who you really are. You're longing for a life that's not real. So we can never be satisfied in this physical realm. This is something else that I remember listening to one of, wish I could remember the disc. I've listened to so many of Joel's recordings. But I remember once I was over by Round Lake over here. There's probably 1,000 Round Lakes in Michigan, so don't pay attention to that. There's 5 Round Lakes in this county, but it was over off US 12 over by the Irish Hills. And I pulled in this little lake and I was listening to one of the discs, and Joel said, "You don't want to know something? There's a shortcut." I said, "There's a shortcut." I go, "Really? I like shortcuts." He said, "There's a shortcut. There's a shortcut." He said, "The God of this world is unfulfilled desire." It's pleasure. Now, doesn't James say that to us? Why do you fight among you? Is it not the lusts in your heart? Right away we think it's debauchery. We think it's sex. And then we stop. We say, "Well, you know, I got that under control, I think." Hello, we just said it. Are you living in a state of thankfulness wherever you find yourself? If you're not, you're living in a state of unfulfilled desire. And the God of, and then you start calling out to a God to fix it. And he said, I am your reward. Isn't that enough? If I am all, in all, and I'm your reward, isn't that enough, Mike? And so I say to the Father, well, then teach me for that to be enough. Teach me. But here's the problem. There's so many areas in our life where we have unbelief to that, and we won't kick them out. We think there's some condition. We've got 1,000 things that have happened, and we still, well, I'll let go of 80 of them, but I'm going to hang on to 20. No, you got to end it all right now. It's all got to go. You can't hang on to a little leaven and have this work. The God of this world is a desire for something outside of who you are. And so you begin to pray to a God. And when you pray to a God to change something in this world, here we go. We're going to get out the cage. When you pray to a God to change something in this world, you're praying to the God of this world. I think we just better all be quiet about that and just tuck it away and don't comment about it, okay? Just be still, okay? Because I'm telling you, listen, if anybody wants to challenge any of this, I'll be glad to sit down with you, okay? But we're not going to do it here, all right? This isn't the venue for it. If you're praying to a God to change something in this world, you're praying to the God of this world. There's a lot of passages in Scripture that talk about the God of this world. Hello. You're living in an illusion. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. No thought even. Not even a thought. Let alone pray to somebody to change it. Can't you be satisfied with me? Hello, I'm in there. Hello. Get out your ragu jar and fill it full of little notes that said, I'm in here, Jerry. Swallow the ragu jar with 1,000 notes that says, this is God. Okay? This is where he's at, guys. This is where he's at. Now, this afternoon, I'm going to beat you up on one little word I'm telling you is killing us, and it's called the word in. Just the word in is killing us. Isn't that something? Just that little bitty word. The word in is killing us. And it's talking about some of this stuff. It might be in this lesson, I don't know. But what, I've got it in here. Take no thought for this life. Because a realm of faith is of things not seen. That's where your life is. And then all the things that come to you can be absorbed by this unbelievable love that the Father has for you and the unbelievable love he has for all your neighbors. It can absorb everything. That's why it's called a lake of fire. It consumes everything that stands against you when it comes. So the beginning of our walk is living in the evidence of things not seen. What stands in your way? What hinders you? But it is not the lust of your own heart, that thing that you're seeking, that you do not have, stands in your way. The Father is working through the things, the appearances, with us, with us, with us, right? Not beside us, in us and through us. He is working through the things, but he's not manipulating them for us. Through our prayers. Okay? You following me? God is not a manipulator of appearances. That's garbage. That's witchcraft is what it is. We've been praying that prayer. God, change this for me. I can't handle it. It's too hard for me. You know, I'm sorry. I'm being condescending. That's not nice. Sorry. I'm doing it to myself, okay? How many, have you went through a whole week and never asked somebody for something? I chew my wife out because she won't get me my coffee when I want it. I mean, I'm nice about it, but you know, it's like, rah, rah, rah. I get my coffee because it helps get everything moving in the morning, you know what I mean? And I'd like to get that done before I take off. So I'm like my mom, I like to go to the bathroom at home. I like to be out in a stranger's place, you know. I like, you know, sort of fits right and all that stuff. You know, I got a mold, I think, in my rear end, you know, and it just helps everything work better, you know. Hey, it's not TMI. We got to have fun, you know, don't we? Got to break it up a little bit. That's what I'm trying to do. That woke you up, didn't it? You were snoring right before that. I'm telling you, the God we've been believing in is Santa Claus. It's like a fairy godmother or something. You know what I mean? It sure is. And I'm just challenging every one of you right now. Could you go a month without asking somebody for something? Well, that's why the coffee thing come up. Sorry, honey. Next time I'll do the shorter version. You know I'm not talking about that. Just think about it. I mean, it makes me shut my mouth up and stop, and it humbles me. I can tell you, for the most part, I'm not praying to a God out there somewhere. I'm not. That stopped when I started reading Walter Lanyon for some reason. It just stopped. I just quit doing it. I was being fed so much, and I was so amazed by what I was reading every day, I couldn't get over that amazement. And it satisfied me. It just satisfied me. And I was content. When we awaken more fully to the things as they were in the beginning, and understand that before we had the belief in good and evil, you were created holy. Yes. Nothing's changed, guys. Nothing's changed. We think stuff has changed, don't we? Because we're continually pulled in by the appearances and the activities of this world. And God said, you are an adulterous generation, seeking a sign, wanting the appearances changed. He said all the time, O ye of little faith, his story on the boat, one little thing didn't go right, and a bigger wave slapped against the side of the boat, and they all messed their pants and run down to the bottom of the boat, woke Jesus up. That was a big wave. We're going to drown. Well, we're not talking about a wave, aren't we? That's not what the lesson's about, is it? When you look out into this world, the wave is what I keep doing all the time with the things, this is good and this is bad. This is good and this is bad. This is good and this is bad. That's the wave. That's the wave. Maybe the bad's the peak. That's probably, let's turn it around, okay? Because that's when we start hollering to an unknown God, when things aren't going right. That's when we start howling. We don't ask them to change the good. We just ask them to change the bad. We're only thankful for the good, and we think we're being blessed. And then we howl like a bunch of babies when it ain't going right. Liz wrote me a little email, a note that was really beautiful. Liz Den Hartog from Australia. I wanted to stick that in here. She said, I got to listen to some of the August seminar on love, and I'm so appreciative. It is life-changing. God knows just what I have need of, and it was perfect timing. I had been getting quite angry for no apparent reason since Tony left, and now it is all gone. Hallelujah. It is interesting to watch the flesh rise up, but it's much better to see the non-power of love overcome and subdue it. Not as a power over something, but rather as the life-giving, omnipresent, beautiful activity which just is. And if we become aware of it, changes you from darkness to light. Isn't that beautiful? She's quite a seeker, and she's got this, okay, I'm telling you. Every time she communicates to me, it blesses me. Every time. It lifts me up and encourages me. And here she's confessing that she's angry because Tony's gone. I love that kind of stuff. That's pure humility. That's confessing your impotence. See, that's why I was confessing about the coffee, okay, honey? Sorry. I'm only successful in certain areas, you know. Sorry. I won't do it again. I'll leave it alone. I hardly ever get her ruffled up at all. I can't do it, you know, so it's good to see her get her ruffled up a little bit about something. You know what it's like to be in a severe fog, right? Any of you been in a really bad fog? Right? How about driving in it? That's what I mean, not walking in it. It happened to me up in the mountains of Colorado, and you know the roads in Colorado aren't straight. You do know that, right? There isn't a straight road in that state. Out in the east, maybe, there's a couple. And you get in the mountains and from my office just to my home, it was a 20-minute drive and there was 121 curves. Every night. I'm not going to confess on some other things I did, but I had a Porsche 944 for about a year, and I would drive it at night with my lights off, with the moon out. You know why I did it? Because I could tell if cars were coming then. And I could drive it as fast as I could. Yeah, I drove it as fast as I could. It was fun. Surprised I'm here. Because I did it quite often. So, see, I got a little bit of Rex in me. Yeah, that was a while back, Rex. I quit doing it. I'm not 80 yet, so I'm ahead of you. I did stop.
That was before me. So
yeah,
years.
Yeah, okay. So, what is the fog? That's what I want to talk about, okay? I want to talk about the fog. I don't want you to answer me because you don't know, okay? You might know a little bit, but I want to tell you what it is, okay? I've been on the road in these kinds of situations, and it was so severe that I had to stick my head out the window and listen for traffic so I could get home, because it just come over us all of a sudden. I'm going to sit there in it all night on the road. Somebody come up and hit you. I could barely see the center line, though. It was so dense. So I stuck my head out the window so I could hear if there was traffic in front of me or traffic coming, and inched along. I don't think we were going more than 5 miles an hour. And I think I had 10 miles to go to get there. So we almost had to slow down to a stop. I even remember pulling over partway off the road so that if something suddenly appeared in front of me, I would have time to go around it or stop. So it got so bad, there were sometimes I just stopped to to see if I could hear anything coming at all. And fortunately, there wasn't a lot of traffic out, so I think everybody got smart somehow and got home. So it was certainly very nerve-wracking. So what is the fog? If we don't understand what the fog is, we're not going to be able to use the right compass. Not that a compass is going to help you, I guess. Maybe that's a wrong analogy, but anyway.
I used to race Mackinac. We put our radar deflector up, and then we hear those boop, boop, boop to the freighters and hope that they would see us.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't see them. We could just feel them.
Yep.
And you followed your compass.
Okay, there you go. Well, with when the road's got 121 curves, I'm not sure I can use the compass. Now, listen. I want you to listen to me because I'm going to shock you again. We're going to go back and tear up this false kingdom some more, okay? Now, guys, I know this is unpleasant, all right? I know it is. There's a lot of walls that's got to be torn down here, okay? But I know that this is true. I know it's right, okay? I really do. So just bear with me, okay? The fog is our judgment of the appearances. Now I want to tell you where the thickest fog is. It's our judgment for good. Everybody would agree that the fog is our judgment of evil, but it's our judgment for good that's trapping us in a realm of appearances. We've said that before, but I haven't seen it as clearly as I do today. I've got a whole message on, it's called The Tree of the Knowledge of Good. Way back, I preached it a lot. And I went back and listened to it, and I said, holy crap, I didn't even understand what I was saying. But it came out right. But it hadn't settled in yet, again. This is why I was saying you can't listen to your mind. You can't judge your mind because it isn't going to respond right away to this. Okay? It's going to keep coming in and wanting to steal your joy. It's going to question things. Well, I see this. I'm not sure I'm going to totally buy into that, Mike. Well, I'm not sure I'm totally bought into it yet either, to be honest with you. But I know this is true. That's all I know. But it's got to work itself out in me, and that's the work of salvation. It's got to work itself out in me so that I know it to the level that I'm at peace all the time. That's what's got to happen. Now, are you at peace all the time, 24/7? Well, there's your barometer right there. Are you thankful all the time for everything? Yeah. Hello? There's your barometer. That shakes you up, doesn't it? That hit the nail on the head there. Judgment for good is the fog. Not the judgment for evil. We got a clear picture of that. Exterminate it. Get rid of it, God. I want this stopped right now. Sponge it out. Are you for me or my adversary? You got it. You can't be for my adversary, God. I'm not for either one of you. Huh? I hear Scooby-Doo, you know. Huh? Yeah, right. Ruh-roh is right. Boy, what's that mean? Listen, the language of the kingdom is a strange language, people. It's a strange language. And we've got a long ways to go to understand it. We've done too much talking, too much thinking, and it's time to be still. Yes. It's time to be still. Don't let your questions get in your way. Go ahead and ask them, but say, is that going to produce peace and thankfulness in my life, or am I just complaining about something? In this fog are many gods. many, many gods. Matter of fact, there's billions of gods, by the way. Billions of them. Because they're all subjective gods. They're particular gods that each of us have, that we believe in. None of them are real. In Isaiah, he said, you've been praying to gods that can't save you. So if we believe in a God where the effect is going to be peace on this earth, or where the effect is going to be any kind of change within the circumstances to any degree, we are trusting in the God of this world. When Jesus addressed the Pharisees, he told them they were worshiping the God of this world. So this is what we must understand, okay? We need to practice lifting up yourself into the Son of God. Today, stop calling yourselves a human being. Stop believing you're a physical human being that can die. Stop it. It's not true. Now, all of us should embrace that. We've heard all this. We've heard this said so many times, and we just haven't connected the dots yet. We haven't connected them, right? Because there's still some unbelief in our life that gets in there and separates the pure word. It pollutes it. Okay? You must have the actual experience of living in it and it living in you. You must have the experience of the Father speaking to the I that you are. You must have the experience of knowing that I am the way. Of taking your entire, well, listen now, of taking your entire attention off the universal belief in a human existence and trust the eye of you to outpicture itself. I didn't write that, folks. I didn't write that. That's an infinite way teacher. And Joel said, as long as you believe in you're a man, you'll be seeking a God and there's none to be found. So this is very key to stop believing you're a physical human being that believes you're going to die. Because you live in that realm, you will die. It says it in Scripture. You will die. You'll die that death you believe in. And your toe's going to quit wiggling and you're going to get the biggest shock of your life. You lived all your life in fear and you didn't need to. You didn't need to. You lived all your life in fear. And you didn't have to. Why not start today? Quit saying you're a physical human being subject to death. Stop saying it. Let's stop using the word human being. I want to expunge it from the earth. Humankind, human anything. I want to get rid of the word, okay? I do. I want us to start speaking a different language. I want us to not speak lies anymore. So let's expunge the word. God is not expressing himself as human beings on this earth. He's not. It's not happening. So, I want to stop saying physical human being or anything that even sounds like it, okay? Would you help me? If you got anything else sounds like it, let me know. If you will let go of a material sense of existence, this is some other infinite way. If you will let go of a material sense of existence, If you will let go of a personal sense of mind, if you will stand still until you are lifted up into that quiet place where you receive the Spirit of God or the conscious awareness of the living I am within you, you will begin to then realize you're a son of God. How many times did people get their names changed? He said to Joseph, "You are Israel." Which means Savior. He said, "You are Israel." And Joseph turned and said to God, "Well, what's your name?" And you know what? God didn't answer him. You know why? He just told him what his name was. Your name. Your name is Israel. God within the man. That's who you are. You're God within the man. Okay? You're not a physical human being. That's what you are. Let's quit mixing those two things together. Because we're not getting it when we are. It's polluting the whole thing. You are no longer born of the flesh. You're not a human being. And I'm telling you, if these concepts, guys, I'm just telling you, I got overwhelmed to get ready for these messages because I had so much material when I started opening up my Bible software. There's so many verses became so much clearer to me. I could have used 100 verses. We could talk about the same thing we're talking about this weekend for a year and not exhaust the passages in Revelation where it's putting, just like going through Mark, every word in there was so clear to me that this all originates in the fact that he preached the word unto them. It had nothing to do with getting rid of the palsy. It wasn't what it was about. But we can't get over that. We just want to get rid of the palsy. Because it's not fun. Now, I got to confess, I don't like it when my body aches and stuff like that. I don't like that stuff. You know, but I got to see through it to reality. I got to see through it. I got to say, God, no matter what happens to me, I'm not going to stop believing that I am you and me. That's who I am. I'm not going to believe my mind. I'm not going to believe what people tell me. I'm not a physical human being that's going to die. Now, I'm not going to say it won't shake me up a little bit. I'm not going to say that, but I'm still not going to say it with my tongue. I'm not going to speak it anymore. I'm not going to speak lies anymore. I didn't say too much then. It was all in my mind, but I wasn't speaking. It was hard to even squeak it out, you know. Yeah, I might slip on the kidney stones, Mark. I might have to call you up and come in and rescue me. I might have somebody come and preach at me. I'll come out there, you know. I'm hoping that don't happen again. We'll see. You are no longer born of the flesh. That means you're not a human being. That's what it means. You are no longer born of the mind. You are born of God, and now the Word has become your being, and it has outpictured itself. The Spirit has become your experience, and standing still, you behold His glory. That is the secret place of the Most High. Now, I want to read you a verse in closing that talks about this. It's a beautiful, it's one of my favorite verses. It's in Revelation 12:11. And it said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, don't think about blood, liquid stuff, okay? It's talking about sacrifice. A lamb is somebody who lays his life down, right? That's a lamb. Sacrificial lamb who lays his life down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Hello? The word of your testimony. Don't say you're a physical human being anymore. Don't say it. Stop saying it. Quit talking about humanhood. That's all I hear about in Infinite Way is humanhood, humanhood, humanhood all the time. They say it 1,000 times, okay, and they're wrong. All right? You're not a human being. There's no such thing. Okay? Quit blaming your humanhood. Okay? Just start denying it and move on. Start speaking who you are. They overcame it by the word of their testimony because they began to believe and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, I just said the same thing to you. And they loved not to believe that they were a physical human being unto death. They loved it not anymore. They quit believing it. That's what it's saying. It's saying that verse sums up this whole lesson. The whole lesson is in that verse. This is giving you a translation of what that means. So I want to thank everybody. We're going to take a lunch break and we'll be back at 2 o'clock. So, goodbye.